I doing all right so far? All right, I'm on page two now. Two of two. The invitation to pray, the Bible, contains an explanation of how to pray. Listening to someone else pray is not prayer. And you can learn things from listening to somebody. Listening to somebody that is seasoned in prayer, really seasoned and know how to pray. You can learn things. I have learned things from people like that. I like to listen to somebody pray. But that's not me praying. That's just them praying. But I could learn from that. You know, when I was a young man and still today, if I see somebody that I can see that is really anointed in the altar. Let's say that maybe it's a guest preacher. I'm especially when I was young, you know, I'd go to these camp meetings and all these places, you know, and I such a desire, Lord, I want to help people receive the Holy Ghost. This was my prayer, you know. I just want to be able to help someone. And so when I saw there was an anointed pastor or a pastor, man, I could just, wow, I know he's got it. And I would just go right there and I would stand and I would just listen. I wouldn't interfere with him. I wouldn't pray with him. I'm just listening because he's got something I want. And same thing about any prayer. They have learned how to touch God. And prayer is always a learning process. Like I said a little while ago, I was saying, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. I wasn't saying that so that I can get up here and tell you that. I pray that at home too. Teach me to pray. There's a lot more I don't know than what I do know about prayer. Let me say that. Does that make sense? Praying the scriptures unlocks intimacy and breaks inertia that we sometimes feel in prayer. You ever get to praying? Let's just say we're at home, because it's easier to do that here when you got brothers and sisters. They got so much fire that smoke's coming out their ears. You know, but when you're home by yourself, that's the test of your prayer, right? That's the test of your prayer at home. But do you ever get to praying at home and you just feel that fire in a sense, and you feel that stirring, and you feel God, and you feel like, oh, you feel like you could chase 1,000 devils? You know, that's good. That's that inertia. There's an anointing in that, and you can utilize that and learn how to capture that and put that to good use. In the spirit and in prayer and in commanding and loosing and binding and so forth. Pretty cool stuff. Now, where am I at? That's been always my problem when I teach or preach. I lose my spot on my notes. But that's all right. Here we go. Say back to God what God says to you in his word. There's a psalm. Really, that psalm was maybe David or someone praying. But at the same time, even though that was their prayer, that's still God speaking to you. Use that to speak back to him. If you don't know what to pray, use his prayer. It's the word of God. Why can't we use the word of God? We can use the word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. When you speak the word, when you say the word, when you quote the word, when you pray the word, you are loosing something into the ether, into the atmosphere. There's an invisible force of God that moves and begins to operate and begins to move upon the people that you're praying for. You may never know it. You might know it. You may learn of it. But even if you don't, God is still hearing your prayer, and God's still trying to save that man or that woman that you're praying for. He won't make them be saved, we know that, but I tell you what, every time you pray, I believe that God somehow knocks on their door. If he speaks to their heart, or if their neighbor says something about God, or somebody at work, or they find a piece of paper about God, somehow, that's why we got to keep praying. That's why you can't give up. You got to keep on keeping on, right? Praise the Lord. Watch this. I was studying these notes last night of Pastor Woodward, and I said this one to my wife. I thought really stood out. Complexity wars against prayer. Simplicity allows prayer to flow. And I didn't say it this way, but I believe it was last time I preached or taught on a Thursday night. I believe it was last time. I spent some time on the noise. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I talked about the noise in our life, that we've got so much noise that hinders us. And I don't mean noise like you could traffic noise or whatever. I'm talking about spiritual noise, so much going around. And that's what I believe he's meaning right here. Complexity wars against prayer. We can become so complex. Our life can become so detailed. We're involved in so many things that we go to pray, and then we've got all of these things in our head, and we're trying to get through them. And that's why, if you can in the mornings to pray when you just woke up from a fresh sleep and you don't have all of that in your head just yet, and you get to prayer pretty quick, and now your head is clearer than it will be later on in the day, and you can have that confidence throughout the day. Yes, I've talked to God today, and I feel good about that. Amen. That's just an opinion, okay? Not saying you have to do that. But it works for most of us, I think. Complexity wars against prayer. Simplicity allows prayer to flow. Simplicity. Praise God. Verbal Bean said in his teachings on prayer, and he was a great, great man of prayer, and he said, God rarely speaks. You're rarely going to hear God speak in a crowd. He didn't mean a church service, but he's just talking about a crowd of noise and things going. You're rarely going to hear God to speak in those types of situations, because again, it's the noise, it's the complexity, it's so much going on. But if you want to hear that still small voice, if you want to hear his voice and feel his impression, it's usually when you're alone, or could be in a group of others praying like this, whatever, but it's usually not in complex situations. Does that help anything at all? Let prayer be an honest expression of your life. You can't fool God. Prayer is not supposed to sound like a slick sales pitch. We're not impressing God. Man, just go and confess it, man. Just tell him what it is. You messed up. Say, my Lord, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I acted that way. I can't believe I was so stupid. You know, that's the kind of stuff I say to God. Yeah. I just get real. I'm not trying to impress God. I say, God, you know, because God knows, you might as well tell him. Because then he knows you're open. You know, there's no need trying to hide it from him. Well, I better not say it because he may not know it. He knows. He knows. Tell him. That's right. Clear the air with the Lord. Praise God. Praying the scriptures illustrates how to pray and inspires us as we pray. Let's read some scriptures just going down here. Psalms 24:3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Psalm 73:1-2. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You could pray that. That's right. You could pray that. Psalms 19:7-9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Anybody ever memorize that little phrase right there, that little scripture? I memorize a lot. I quote that a lot of times when I'm praying. I'll just be praying by myself. My wife and I have prayed a whole lot together. Just most of our marriage, we pray together. But I quote that a lot. And I encourage myself to, in the word of the Lord, I encourage myself to exalt him, to worship him, and to magnify him. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That, in a sense, is a prayer as well. Your praise and your worship is in the realm of prayer. Mm-hmm. Study 2 Timothy 2:1. You know, he talks about four types of prayer. One of those is giving of thanks. He talks about prayers. He talks about intercession. He talks about supplications. Then he talks about giving of thanks. Your giving of thanks is a prayer. But instead of you asking, you're giving thanks. How does a person receive the Holy Ghost? By giving thanks before he receives. Everything else comes the same way. You could ask a thousand times, but sometimes you just got to stop asking and start giving him thanks. It's scriptural. It's biblical. Start giving him thanks. Can we say amen? The book of Psalms is the thesaurus of prayer. See, Psalms, you could have different types of prayers. You could, in your own emotions, because we're all human and we're very emotional creatures. God made us that way. He is emotional. He is. We read about God becoming angry. We read about God becoming jealous, and so on and so forth. Not to the point of sin. God cannot sin. Okay? But God is an emotional God. And in the Psalms, you can find these emotional prayers, because you're going to be going through different types of emotional situations, and you don't know how to pray about it, all right? And you can't touch God that day or that week, all right? You search the scriptures, maybe a psalm about mourning. You're mourning a loss of some type. There's many psalms like that, some type of a prayer of a loss, or psalms about your enemies. You could pray about and for your enemies through the psalms. Psalms of victories. You could find many psalms about victories and psalms about worship, of course. Now, you know, if you get to Psalms 149 and 150, you better stand up if you know what that is, because it's time to clap, it's time to dance, it's time to shout. Because that's what 149 and 150 is all about. So, amen. Praise God. So, now, let me give a little real example of a prayer. I have used this psalm at some point, on a number of occasions, probably. And maybe you have too. It's Psalm 51, 113. So, I'm going to pray this with my emotions right now, okay? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can do just that. That's more of a, like a repentance, a good part of that, a repentance psalm. But it may not be that that you need to do. But that's up to you to choose whatever you need to do on a particular day. But just don't go too long without this great gift and opportunity to pray, because God gave this to us. He could have made man and never communicated with Adam. We could have a Bible that shows no communication with God. But boy, do we have a lot of examples in there, don't we? Man, it's full of examples of prayer. Praise God. Praying the scriptures gives imagery and intensifies intensity to our prayers. Praying the scriptures gives imagery and intensity to our prayers. So maybe even when I was praying that and I was exampling that passage of scripture, you might have been having certain images in your mind about the prayer. You might have had something that caused you to think. And that's what the scripture is to do, because it's the word of God. It's not the word of man. Every almost 900,000 words in the Bible, every one is of God. God's word. Praise God. That's why the Psalms are songs. Did you know that the Psalms, many or most of the Psalms, are actually songs that were sang in those Old Testament Bible times when they were written? And some are even sang today with certain tunes and music. I've heard them and sang them myself in churches, and probably you have as well. Because the overflow of the word and the spirit produces singing in the soul. Praise the Lord. A little bit more here. That's why the Psalms, we did that. Ephesians 5:18 through 20. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, somebody say, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Right there it is. He's telling us, even in the New Testament, telling us to do this very thing that we're talking about tonight. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praying the scriptures brings intercession and immortality to our prayers. Intercession and immortality. Well, I think about that word immortality in that phrase, and I have said many times in talking about prayer that you may pass away, and you will one day unless the Lord comes, but those prayers you've prayed will not pass away. I can't find any scripture that says the prayers died when you died. Amen. I think about the prayers my mom prayed for her grandkids and her kids and others. You know what? And my wife's mom that passed over a year ago, all the prayers she prayed for her family, I don't believe those prayers are gone and died. I believe those prayers are still circling the earth when God's trying to answer those prayers, moving upon people. I believe that. And that's why we need to pray with immortality. We need to pray with life and belief that God hears and God answers prayers. You've got to believe that God hears you. If you ever doubt, I probably, I can't think of a time right now, but there's probably been at some point in my life where I wondered if God was hearing my prayer. Has anybody ever felt that or questioned that? But think about this. I have said this. If you ever question if God is hearing your prayer, ask yourself, okay, if I went out and if I just started, went into a rage of cussing and swearing, would God hear me? Yeah. I'm too afraid to do that. So guess what? I know he hears me praying. He's hearing you pray. If he's going to hear the evil, if it came out, he's going to hear the good. He said, well, I'm not worthy. We're never worthy within ourselves. We're only worthy through the blood. That makes us worthy. You got to forget about being worthy in your own self. We're worthy because of the blood. Praise God. How can you put red blood on black sin and it becomes white? That don't even make sense. That's not a mixture they use in kindergarten, you know. You can use certain colors, you know, but that don't work. But it does in the spirit. Hallelujah. Revelation 5 and 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 4 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. He's got your prayers in a bottle. Your prayers, did you know in Eastern custom times, back in Old Testament times and even in Jesus' day, it was common for people to have what was called a tear bottle. A tear bottle, and especially for the women. That was, I think, a more of a womanly thing. And they would try to capture their tears, and they would try to get the tears in this bottle. And they would collect those tears over their life and as much as they could. I'm sure some evaporated, but they said that they would bury, when they went to had the funeral, that they would put the tear bottles of that woman or that person in with them to view, and they would be able to say, oh, that's how much sadness she's had in your life. Well, there's a tear bottle that God is keeping record of, and it's tears of your prayers. And one day, God is going to empty those out with answers to your prayers. Oh, yes, he is. Acts 10 and 4, and when he had looked on him, this is about Cornelius, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, Cornelius didn't have the Holy Ghost. He wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, but he was a man of prayer. He was a man of fasting. He was a man of giving, even so much so that he saw an angel. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he had all this spiritual experience. And the angel said, thy prayers and thine alms have come up as a memorial before God. Well, you know, just real quick here, I'm going to end it with this. But your prayer sometime, which you have to understand, is like a layaway. Now, I don't know if stores do layaways like they used to when I was a little younger. I know Walmart and Kmart, no stores. You know, you go over there and put down $5 and you got like $8,000 worth of stuff, right? You know, it's like take them 3 hours to count it all out, right? Oh, would that lady hurry up? You know, two carts full of stuff and she put down $3. Okay, and she never comes back. Well, your prayer sometimes is like a layaway plan. Anybody ever do a layaway plan? So I remember back, I must have been probably the 80s, maybe late 80s, I don't know. Mid-80s, there was this one store I used to go to in the mall to buy my suits. I always see the same guy, always waited on me, kind of a smaller guy, had a goatee. He was probably in his 50s, and I was probably in my 20s. And he was really nice, always helped me with my suits and fitted them, you know. And so he had there was a layaway plan there. And so I would give him, you know, $15, $20. And 2 or 3 weeks later, I would come back, and I would give him some more money. And, you know, maybe another week I'd come back with another $20 or $30. And by the time I got my suit out, might be 4 weeks or 6 weeks, I done forgot what color it was. I mean, yeah, but I was making my payments. And so when I would go and make my last payment, I had all these little things stapled together that he gave me. And I owe $14.50. And I give him $14.50. It's all I gave him that day. And he gave me a whole suit. I mean, like three pieces, right? Cool, pinstripe, vest, everything for $14.50. I kind of forgot about all those other payments. But see, it was like a layaway. And so you got to keep making those payments in prayer. Don't give up. What if I would have made a payment or two, then I just let that suit go? Like that lady, she put down, she had two carts full of stuff, and she never came back to make any more payments. And Walmart kept her money. You got to keep coming back to prayer and say, God, I'm not giving up. I may not see it this week. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to keep praying until it happens. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to see it happen. It's going to come to pass. I've come back with another payment, mister. Sir, take my payment here. I'm going to get my suit sooner or later. Hallelujah. Sometimes prayer is immediate, and we get it just like that. But sometimes, and probably more than we like, it's like a layaway. Don't give up and pray the Bible whenever you need to. It's just an extra resource when you don't have the words to pray or how to pray in that given situation. Praise God. Let's stand.